Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
It's not every day I get to talk to a personal hero of mine. He's also a hurling legend. I give it up to the one and only TJ Reid. TJ, you're very welcome. I haven't met you before. It's lovely to meet you today.
Thank you.
Tell me when you first started hurling. What age did you start hurling?
Sure, it's a long time ago now, unfortunately. But look, like every youngster in Kilkenny, you're handed a hurl.
Yeah.
There's no choice in the matter. My parents, my grandparents, all hurled. So it was built into our DNA. So look, at the early ages of 4 or 5, you're brought down to the hurling field.
Yeah.
No choice. My father was involved in Ballyhale, managed Ballyhale seniors, chairman of Ballyhale for years. So you're brought down like every other youngster in Kilkenny. And then as years go on, then you find a bit of a love to it, and then it just progresses after that.
Yeah. Kilkenny is a very interesting county because hurling is actually so central to everything that happens here, because it's a relatively small county and hurling is such a big part of, everybody is connected to it at some level.
We are. It's the heartbeat of Kilkenny, I suppose. And this has gone on for the last 100 years, so it's not just the last 10 years. So the foundations were built years ago, and in Kilkenny, I'm sure St. Kieran's College is known all over Ireland for the All-Ireland title. So if you were a youngster in Kilkenny and you wanted to go play hurling, you'd be going to St. Kieran's College.
Yeah.
And that was like that. I had no choice in the matter. My parents decided, well, TJ, you're able to hurl.
So, after Kieran's.
Yeah, so you're going into St. Kieran's. So, yeah, so I wasn't in there from my books. I was in there to hurl. So
when did you know that, or maybe you didn't, but did you just try to keep getting better and better? You know, you get on to the first team, then you're selected for Ballyhale Shamrocks. Your first game with Kilkenny, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, look, like that, I've been through all the development squads in Kilkenny. But I suppose where it all stemmed for was going all the way years back was into my primary school in Ballyhale National School. We had a principal called Joe Dunphy, who was the heartbeat. He was very essential to Ballyhale. Again, it was 90% hurling and 10% a bit of football. But all the great players of Ballyhale came through Ballyhale, likes of Mick Fennelly, Henry Sheffield, Charles Fitzpatrick, and loads more as well. And that's why Ballyhale, that was the heartbeat of Ballyhale. But then for ourselves, then we transitioned then into Kilkenny. The love was found in Ballyhale, and then you find a bit of, I'm actually good at this, I'm actually able to hurl and I'm enjoying it. And then once the enjoyment comes, then you find a bit of desire and a bit of work rate to go and try to get better. Not everyone has that desire and determination to go and improve themselves, because for me, you know, all the great players, when you go into the dressing room and onto the hurling field, that's the easy work. But the great players have the desire and the determination to do the work when nobody's looking. And that's what, in Kilkenny, all the teams that I've been involved, that was probably the most best skill set that any player has, is when nobody's watching you, that's when you do the work.
Yeah. Tell me about the club scene in Kilkenny and its relationship to the county team. Does it sort of follow that if Kilkenny is going through a challenging patch, that all is not well at club level?
No, I think. Well, again, I'm only speaking on part of Ballyhale. We've been very successful over the last.
You absolutely have. What is it? 12 now.
Yeah. So, look, speaking on Ballyhale wise, but even looking back over the last number of years, Ballyhale Shamrocks were getting to Club All-Irelands, Thomastown were getting to Club All-Irelands, Danesforth were getting to Club All-Irelands. So it's there. St. Kieran's have been winning All-Irelands for the last number of years.
Yeah.
So it's not always the case. So Kilkenny, unfortunately, we have gone through a dry spell. at the moment. But that doesn't mean that there's great work being done from the county board and being great work done from the clubs. To win any All-Ireland, it takes tremendous players to come through and a group of players to come through and to actually go and achieve something special, because it's not easy.
Absolutely.
If it was easy, yeah, every county would be doing it. So, and sometimes you have to be patient.
And is it a numbers game? If you look at something like Dublin, where, you know, they've got the population, the GAA has put a huge amount of resource now into, look at even local clubs near me like Coola and that. Mm. You know, you look at what they're doing, but they do have the numbers. Does that mean ultimately someday they're going to be top dog?
No, not necessarily.
Not as long as you're around, as you said.
it doesn't work like that, yeah. Like, sometimes big numbers can be a hindrance to a environment, because if you have 500 kids coming through, you can't work with 500 kids. So you better to work with just 50 of the best players and bring them through. So again, that's not an area where I'm in. You know, I'm still playing, so my focus is myself. But for me, numbers games are sometimes not the best thing, because yes, Dublin, obviously in the football, they've been, you know, obviously regarded as the best football team of the last decade. But obviously, you look at, for me, what makes a great team is great players make great teams, and great teams go on and win things together.
Yeah.
And once you get great players, like legendary players, as I said, Kilkenny, we had them for two decades. And Limerick at the moment are the best team at the moment, because they have great players. So great players make great teams, and great teams go on and achieve things together.
Yeah. Tell us about your business. I know that you've always, every sportsman and great sports people like yourself ultimately will make a transition for the life after hurling, or the life after whatever sport it is. TJ Reid Elite Coaching is part of your business. You also run a couple of very successful gyms. One is on the go for, what, nearly 10 years?
10 years in business there, yeah. So I own two clubs and then a online business. But like that, 10 years ago, I wanted to better myself as well. Obviously, the hurling was fantastic back then, but I always wanted to be my own boss.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Which it does help. Obviously, when you're playing sport, having the freedom to live life on your terms is fantastic, and that's my motto, really, is to live life in your terms. So I built a business, so I knew eventually that my day would come. So I wanted to build something that I could work in and to drive and to give people in Kilkenny something to experience. So the gym is operating 10 years, and then the one good thing with COVID, we transitioned into an online business.
Okay.
That's four or five years ago now. So it's after picking up from then. Now we work with the best founders and CEOs in Ireland and business leader teams. And what we specialise in, that we turn business leaders who are running on empty and we turn them inside out with the five systems that I built from being in a high team environment for the last 20 years. So that's nationwide around Ireland.
And tell me this, the parallels between high-level, high operating CEOs and high-performing sports people, there are many, aren't they?
There are many, and it doesn't matter what... If it's on the pitch or in the boardroom, they're just different destinations. It's the standards that you hold yourself matters, and the application and how you apply yourself, and having a system in place that you're able to unlock when things are going against you. Because the most successful people, what I see, have systems, and the people who are struggling don't have a system in place to manage it. So we're like a project management, a management system for people that if there's areas in your life where you're struggling, we're there to consult you as best we can.
Yeah, and when you talk about, you know, the training that no one sees, you know, you can equate that as well to, you know, CEOs working tirelessly, working too much maybe, burning out, and again being overdriven. And what you do is then you're trying to give them focus, performance focus.
It's measured on data, and any sports player loves receiving data, because data is driven by evidence than after. Once you see a bit of evidence and you're measured,
it's on KPIs,
it's fact driven then. And once people see that they're responding to the program, well, then the confidence and belief is going to shine through them then. But unfortunately, with people who want to go and build a career for themselves, in sport, we sacrifice, you know, weddings or stag parties. But unfortunately, then with these business leaders, when they're so driven on a career, they sacrifice their life.
Yeah.
And they miss out 10 years of their life through climbing the ladder because they wanted to, I suppose, climb the ladder as a CEO. But that takes huge pressure and huge demands. And the effect of 10 years of driving a career, you lose relationships, you lose sleep, stress is high, you're on autopilot every day. So for us, people talk about going to the gym or having a protein shake. We ask people about your sleep, because sleep is, for me, is the foundation to everyone's performance. It's a free drug, but the most important thing is that we get people to sleep properly first. Because if you're not sleeping properly, you're not recovered properly. If you're not recovered properly, you can't perform better.
Finally, I want to ask you back to the hurling as it is, and well done on the business. It's great to see you doing so well and having a solid platform there. You clearly have thought a lot about it, which is really refreshing. Back to the hurling, Kilkenny. What about where do we go from here, as they say?
Yeah, sure, that's the million-dollar question. And I suppose, look, there's a bit of excitement around Kilkenny at the moment. There's, you know, Derek Ling did a fantastic job for Kilkenny. It was a very hard place to come into after, obviously, Brian Cody being there for 20-odd years. So it was a very tough place for Derek. But look, we went on, and Derek, we achieved four Leinster titles with Derek, or three Leinster titles with Derek. So again, I know in hurling we all talk about the Munster Championship, which is great, but again, for any team that goes on and win five Leinster titles in a row, shouldn't be forgotten about either.
All right.
And that's what we did. But as I said, there's an extra gear in us, and we'd be hoping that the next manager comes in can get the extra 10%, because it's not a whole new team that we need. As we all know in sport, it's that extra 1% is all we need. So,
all right.
So everyone in Kilkenny is probably listening to the radio, the newspaper, of what names have been coming through. So we'll wait and see. I think it's been ratified in the next 4 weeks or so.
Okay.
So we'll find out then.
You're a top man. We drive on. TJ Reid, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr. Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.